Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers? The Home Depot has an idea. Let Mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens. Right now, get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants indoors and outside. Shop our wide selection online and pick up your order in-store and give Mom the gift of a beautiful garden. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And not just the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go papertarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello and happy Friday. I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
And I'm Holly Fry.
This week, we kicked off our podcast episodes with some anatomy and some wax models and somebody that's been on my list not for that long, because a lot of the press about her followed, I think, an edition of the book that I referenced at the end coming out, which was called The Lady Anatomist, The Life and Work of Anna Mirandi Manzolini. But a lot of the articles that have come out on some, you know, mainstream popular websites recently have referenced back to that book. And so she hasn't been on my list for that long, but she's been somebody I've been just deeply interested in that whole time, partly because the self-portrait of her is so visually striking, because she's really in a gown with pearls on, dressed very beautifully and very aristocratically while preparing to dissect a brain, which I really liked. Holly, you and I have both talked about how we'll kind of download to our spouses what we've been working on. At this point, my husband has heard me talk about so many topics that are just horrible that as I was trying to explain kind of the condensed version of Anna Mirandi Manzolini, he kept expecting there to be something horrific happening to her. Like, was she exiled because of her anatomical interest? No, she just got paid a lot less and it wasn't enough to live off of. Which is still bad, but like not, he was expecting like a
he was expecting a trauma. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking at a picture of her, that self portrait in wax that she did, and I'm thinking, this is another good idea for a Halloween costume.
Ooh, I hadn't even thought about that, but I agree with you.
Because her dress is beautiful. It's a beautiful, like, really kind of subdued dusty pink rose gown of the era. So that means lots of fun embellishment. Mm-hmm. There's some pearls. There's good hair. You just need to carry around a brain in a jar.
There are pictures of several of her wax pieces that you can get pretty easily on the internet. And one of them is a series of the eye. And it's got just an eye, the skin around the eyes looking in different directions. You're getting a sense of how that musculature all attaches. And then there's one that's just the eye itself with the musculature coming off of it. And every time I see it, I have this moment where I think it's a starfish.
I understand completely
what you're saying. It does look a little almost Lovecraftian because of the way it is displayed.
So I've studied anatomy and physiology. I've never personally done a cadaver study, but I have watched video of cadaver studies being done. I don't feel particularly squeamish about all of this, but the anatomical Venuses creep me out because they're like their facial expressions and their body and the fact that you are like lifting out all of these parts of the person's like pelvis and abdomen. And somehow the look on her face is weirdly ecstatic. I'm like, I feel like this is a model of a woman who's enjoying being brutalized, and that creeps me out.
I have theories.
Yeah.
I have to wonder if some of it isn't just that women at this point historically, right, were often objects of, like, ideally would be something pretty to behold. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to just make them beautiful and look like women you would see in paintings and art, except, of course, you could take them apart and look at their insides. But it does create a strange juxtaposition.
Yeah.
That is very disturbing.
There's a really recent book within, I think, the last couple of years called The Anatomical Venus that's on just these, and I have not read it, but that does exist if people are interested. Something that we didn't get into the episode that came up in the research, though, was how the whole idea of the sexes was really evolving just before and during this time. Back when we did the episode about the Lieutenant Nun, mm-hmm. we talked about how in that particular era, the idea of the sexes was very different from how we think of it now, because it was, everybody thought that like there was one sex and it was male, and women were just kind of broken men. And so Anna Mirandi Manzolini was relatively early in the sort of more conceptualizing it as two distinct sexes, although there were still people arguing about it in one way or the other. And now, of course, today we're living at a time not many centuries past that point where more and more physicians and geneticists and all kinds of other specialists are saying, hey, this whole binary of two sexes is like not actually indicative of the diversity of the way people's bodies present. So it's like, to me, an interesting progression in how that understanding has shifted over like 500 years.
Oh, yeah. I have a confession to make, which is that I am not emotionally tall enough to ride the ride of dissected bodies. Uh-huh. I can watch surgery for days.
Uh-huh.
But, like, once you see things like this or those instances of installations that have toured periodically in the last several years of, like, a human body that's kind of, like, taken apart for people to look. I cannot handle
the plastinated
them.
Ones.
I cannot handle it. So for me, being able to look up, for example, at a beautified face that I can pretend is a painting is working a little better. But it's a tricky thing, the way men and women were treated. I also feel like in some ways we look at this period specifically when she was doing her work, there is this strange juxtaposition we talked about of, like, in some ways so much more progressive in terms of available routes mm-hmm. for women, but in other ways, as evidenced by the fact that these anatomical studies had to, shortly after she was gone, then be very pretty also.
Right.
Like, there are weird multiple societal standards and ideologies at play all at the same time.
Right.
Which is always what makes history specifically related to sex and gender very tricky to pick apart.
Yeah. She definitely, or women in Bologna when she was living, especially if they were wealthy, not as much as if they weren't wealthy. Like, they had more access to education than in lots of other parts of Europe, but they still faced a lot of sexism and were sort of held up as like token lady scholars.
Yeah. Behold, our lady scholar instead of just a smart person.
Yep.
Yep. I was annoyed at all the times that I found her referenced as the Lady Anatomist until I realized, like, that's really how they were sort of marketing her in Bologna in the 18th century.
Continuing our week of slightly graphic things, since the other one was about anatomy, we also talked about William Kemmler this week and Alfred Southwick, the invention of the electric chair in its first use, which is a weird and difficult thing to talk about because it also involves, as we mentioned at the top of that episode, some animal torture, which we glossed over as much as possible, and domestic abuse.
Mm-hmm.
There were two things that really, 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 really made me spitting nails angry while I was researching this. One is the fact that Kemmler's defense in his initial trial focused so much on the fact that Tilly was so pretty, of course she was having an affair. Gross.
Yeah.
I didn't include it in the episode itself because it does get a little bit graphic, but they even asked the surgeons that worked on her brain if they thought she was pretty. And one of the surgeons who was considered like an expert in that field, like an early brain surgeon, so to speak, and had been the man that described trying to pull fragments of bone out of her brain tissue in the hopes that they could somehow save that brain tissue, which, of course, ultimately didn't work, kind of had a great comeback, but I'm sure it was because he was astonished to even be asked that, where he said something along the lines of, not the way I saw her. Like,
yeah,
why he would even be questioned as to whether he thought this woman he was trying to save, who was obviously a mess, was pretty, just horrified him.
Well, and it reminds me of, like, when women are assaulted and what they were wearing is used as part of the trial.
Very similar. The whole thing did become very victim-blamey in Kemmler's defense. And I understand, of course, this was, you know, 150 years ago. But it really is, like, startling to me that that was their take, was that they asked everybody how pretty she was. And I'm like, that is monstrous. The second thing that really horrified me in the research is that once that electrocution took place and, of course, went horribly badly, the way that Kemmler was talked about in the press became much more sympathetic. And they mm-hmm. referred to him as that poor wretch and, like, that poor man. And I understand that that was also framing it to kind of maximize the sensationalism of it and make it seem like this had really been a terrible, terrible plan from the start. But as a consequence, like, the fact that he had so violently killed his, at that point, what's often called his common-law wife, even though he was married to someone else, kind of falls off of the story.
Right.
And it does not become about how he brutalized someone, and he becomes this poor victim that nobody is giving the same benefit of the doubt. You know, how pretty was that electric chair? Like, there's no... it's a very weird thing. And those two things together just had me fuming.
Yeah. Yeah. One, I like that phenomenon is also something that still exists where, you know, if someone is convicted of a crime and their punishment is regarded as being excessive somehow, like, that will earn sympathy, whereas the person who was the victim of the crime is sort of written out of the story.
Yeah, I mean, I, you know, where anybody stands on the death penalty is in whatever they make peace with in their own heart. I certainly do not want anyone to be treated inhumanely or cruelly, but it really does bother me, particularly in a situation of such horrifying domestic abuse, that the thing that got him there kind of gets written out, and that victim never got the same kind treatment. It's definitely unbalanced in that regard.
Yeah.
The other thing is that I feel like people don't talk about Southwick at all when you hear about the War of Currents. Like, they talk about him as sending Edison letters, but you really don't know his whole background. there isn't a whole lot of discussion in, you know, any of the various films or whatever that have been made around it. You don't find out, like, his whole weird thing where he and his friends were electrocuting stray dogs to try to figure out their scientific method. That all, I mean, it's difficult to talk about and think about, but it's an important part of the story that gets kind of whipped past usually because those two figures, Kemmler and Southwick both, are so eclipsed by the Edison, Tesla, Westinghouse portion of it, which I understand. Like, you can't tell the whole story all the time in the amount of time given. But it just, that's why I wanted to do this one, as unpleasant as it is in many regards.
Yeah.
If you would like to write us some pleasant email, we would love that. It's one of the reasons I put a very pleasant one at the end of that episode. You can do that at historypodcast@iheartradio.com. You can also find us on social media as Mist in History. We would love for you to subscribe to the podcast. You can do that on the iHeartRadio app, at Apple Podcasts, or wherever it is you listen.
Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway the great American race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.